Well, it's another edition of the Panthers pre-game podcast. We're going to look ahead to what a big game at the weekend. Sheffield Steelers, always a massive game when the Steelers are in town. But of course, it's Steelers first against Panthers second in the Challenge Cup group. So real bragging rights are at stake here. And Panthers want to, of course, like the Steelers, get a step closer to confirming their place in the last eight. Now, we're joined by a very special guest, Dan Green. Decided to go on holiday. He's left us. He's gone to Spain or Skegness. I'll let you decide which one. But I'm absolutely delighted to say that alongside Jono Bullard is the former Panthers player, Panthers coach, and a Panthers legend, Paul Ady. His shirt is number 22, hangs in the rafters. Paul, great to have you. How are you doing?
I'm fine, Chris. Nice to be on the show with you and Jono.
Jono, how are you doing?
I'm good, thanks, mate. Good as always. Happier after a victory last night, of course.
Yeah, absolutely. Paul, we're going to come to you now, really. We're going to talk in general in terms. Jono, we'll talk about that victory before the end of the podcast. But Paul, you know, you played for the Panthers against the Steelers. You played for the Steelers against the Panthers. You coached the Panthers against the Steelers. Just what is it? Can you put into words that's so special about the rivalry?
I just think both teams have, you know, great set of fans, and they're very passionate about their team. And it all, you know, it starts with the fans, doesn't it? And the atmosphere is always incredible when the two teams match up. And that's a lot of fun playing in those games and coaching too. I mean, a lot of pressure behind the bench in those games as a coach, because the fans want to win so badly because it's such a big rivalry. But the rivalry is one of the best in the UK and also in Europe. I mean, I don't think there's a better rivalry anywhere else.
Jono, people talk about they play too many times, the rivalry's not like it was. You know, we can argue about things like that till the cows come home, but make no mistake about it, it will be the Panthers-Steelers games get the biggest crowd. And I think Panther supporters wake up with a bit more excitement in their stomachs. I know I do. I look forward to these Steelers games, if not one to, you know, have a little dig at, you know, my old friend, David Sims or Dean Woolley. You know, got some great friends in the organization there. But no, it's still the most special one, isn't it?
It is. It's the game you want to win the most. It's the game you hate to lose against the Steelers. And especially in my household, with my wife and daughter both being Steelers fans as well. So there's a lot of bragging rights at stake. So, yeah, it's always been a very special rivalry. Yeah, you're right. You can argue, do we play too many times? Has the rivalry, you know, been somewhat diminished over the years? But yeah, it's still, for me, the game that I want to win most out of all the others.
We've not got long, so this is going to be a real tough ask to go through these memories. But Paul, you know, we're all going to give our memories. But, you know, we talk about the rivalry. It probably was no more intense than the night of the famous bench clearance brawl. Barry Nykos, Scott Allison, Dennis Vial et al. We, you know, those, you know, if you've not seen it, Google it on, you know, put it onto YouTube. Paul, you were a Steeler that night. Just talk me through the moment. That, you know, and I think we all know that Mike Blaisdell sent his team first. Sheffield went first after the incidents.
I don't know about that.
But... Well, I mean, the video shows it, Paul. But talk me through the moment you knew you were going on that ice. What's that like, knowing that you're going to be part of something like that?
Well, I mean, it was a pretty intense game as normal. I think the games were more intense back then than they are today. It was more physical, more fighting and all of that. And I remember, I think Greg Heddon got involved with Vialli in the middle of the ice, if I remember correctly, and kind of things broke out there. And Nykar came off the bench, and I remember he cross-checked Vialli and everything. From that point on, you knew. I think Allison was already in the box at that time, and he spotted it, so he was trying to get out of the box. Anyways, both benches emptied and went from there. And I mean, I've been on both sides, right? I've been with the Panthers playing in a brawl against the Steelers, and both times, Greg Haddon was involved in basically starting it. Let's be honest. I mean, Greg wasn't the biggest guy, but he certainly didn't back down to anyone. And so it's not surprising.
No, carry on. Sorry, I'll come back to that in a minute. What are you about to say?
No, I mean, you know, Haddon was fiery and played a tough game for not the biggest guy on the ice. And so it didn't surprise me on both those occasions that, you know, Haddon was in the thick of it.
Yeah, absolute legendary player, Greg Haddon. I mean, Jono, your memory might be better than mine, I feel. And Paul alluded to it there. I think he was 62% right. You know, obviously, I think that the big thing was there was a cross-checking going on in the corner, Haddon Vial, Nykar in the middle. But it was Alisson who nearly took Nykar's head off, wasn't it? And then Alisson did get put in the box and then climbed out the box. Fats, wasn't it? It was the penalty box attendance then.
He tells a great story
about it. And you can just see on one of the videos and you can see Alisson climbing over the box. So anyone who's not seen it and might be new to the sport and a new fan, you know, basically Scott Alisson, who then was teammates with Barry Nykar two seasons later. Paul, you signed him, didn't you?
I did, because I like Scott Alisson as a player, and you know, he was big and tough, but could score goals, skated well for a big man, and it was a good hockey player. I played on the same line with him in Metcalf when I was in Sheffield for the most of the year, and so I just had good feelings about him as a player for the Panthers, and signed him, and he did a good job overall for the team.
Do you remember if Nykar and Alisson had to have a chat, clear the air? Can you remember?
I don't know if they ever did. I mean, they might have without me knowing, but yeah, you know, once you're on the same team together, you get along, don't you? And I think it was just for them, was just part of the game. They're both, you know, big strong men, and I think, you know, it was water under the bridge once they lined up on the same team.
Yeah, John, I'm going to talk and then bring Paul in, but let's go forward to Paul as a Panther. And I think if you look back, if I look back, but somebody asked me the other day, what I can't remember who it was, what was my favorite Panthers moment, you know, I think it would be that one of them right up there would be that Challenge Cup win over the Steelers when Kim Aroos got the overtime winner. You know, I had professional reason to like it because I was honored and lucky enough to commentate on the game. I think, Paul, I remember you telling me quite quickly after the game, it was the first time Panthers have won a cup final against the Steelers in Sheffield. No, ever against the Steelers, which was very special. Jono, you were probably, well, not probably, you were in the stands, I'm sure. What do you remember?
From that, I remember we went 2-0 up quite early on. I think Lee Jimman scored both of them.
From memory, John Salonen may have got
but we went 2-0 up early on. I think the Steelers pegged it back, and I think the Steelers thought they'd scored to make it 3-2, but it was ruled out for offside. The game went to overtime, and then you saw the play as it came down, and the puck came across to Kim Aroos, and time just seemed to slow down, and it was almost as if he had all the time in the world just to get the puck and roof it past Christian Bronsard. And I think I remember Dave Sims telling me that was Christian Bronsard's first loss for Sheffield. That game, yeah, but I believe so. I need to look up the facts, but I'm sure it was Simsy who told me that. And straight into the roof of the net, and there was sort of a couple of seconds of belief that we just scored the goal, and then everybody just went absolutely crazy in the away end. It was a unforgettable moment, and of course it had been six seasons since our last trophy, which was also in the Sheffield Arena against the Scottish Eagles in the old Benson Hedges Cup in 1998. So to win that trophy and to win it in Sheffield against Sheffield was very, very special.
Paul, that overtime was almost like a clinic for it was 4-on-4 in those days, because, you know, you might not remember this, but Sheffield barely touched the puck for those 53 seconds. You just, you know, it's just Nottingham in possession. You had a couple of line changes, didn't you? What do you remember about it?
Well, first thing, if I remember the goal scorers, you guys might correct me, but I thought Craig had the first goal on the power play off the wall, a low shot along the ice.
I'm going to find out while you talk.
And Salonen, I think driving to the net, got the second one. And then Steelers came back strong. He had a power play, at least one power play goal, if I remember. And we always knew it was going to be tough. I mean, no one really gave us a chance. We were tied going into Sheffield. They were favored. But we believed we could do it. And got great goaltending in those two games, which really helped. And the overtime goal, you're right. We got possession of the puck and we kept it. And I remember saying to the team, whatever we do, change quick. Like, don't get caught on the ice tired. That's when you get punished in like a 3-on-3 or 4-on-4 situation. And the guys did. They changed quick. And eventually, I think we caught them in a bit of a – one or two of their guys had been out there for that whole 53 seconds or whatever it is. I think you said, Chris. And you know, we just caught them on a rush up the ice, and it was just a great all around play from everybody on the ice. And Aarhus, when the puck came across the end, I was like, he's not missing that. I mean, he just had a great shot. He knew where the net, back of the net was. And you're right, it was a special moment for sure. I mean, it was unbelievable. To win that in Sheffield. And you talk about not beating Sheffield in finals. As a player, I went into finals against Sheffield and lost quite a few close games. So in the back of my mind, I was always like, got to get one off these guys, you know? And we went up against probably that year the best goalie in the league, Bronsar. He was unbelievable all throughout the season. Really, really good goalie. So to be able to beat him in his own rink too, made it even more special because he was such a good goalie. And they had a great team. I mean, that was one of the better teams, you know. And but we just found a way. It was just meant to be, I guess. But everybody played well. There was no weak links on that team in those two games.
Nothing gets past you, Paul. Joel Salonen, first goal, assisted Jim and Thompson. Second goal, Craig Ed, assisted Stanchuk and Koivunoru. And we all know that the winning goal was Aarhus, Koivunoru, and the other assist went to Brian Thompson because Thompson was the man that played it across to...
Which was a great pass.
Now, we don't have much time on this podcast. Paul, I want to now flip it for one more story for you with a Steelers hat on. Now, I remember this game because it was a game where you were the Grand Slam season, so the same season as a bench clearance, where the Steelers didn't nearly travel to the game. I think it's well documented that that year there was some financial situation in the Steelers. And I remember being in the rink and hearing from colleagues in Sheffield and BBC colleagues that, hey, there's a real chance the Steelers aren't going to make this game. But you did make the game. I think Panthers won that one 5-0 that night when the Steelers didn't make it. But that must have been what I'm intrigued to know is, clearly, somewhere, someone had to make a big decision that you were coming because obviously, you can explain it better, but obviously the bottom line was you guys hadn't been paid.
Yeah, I mean, to think that we'd won those four trophies in the situation that we did as a team, I mean, you wouldn't believe how intense it was, you know, throughout that season, based on the fact that financially there was difficulties and I guess the owner was doing some dodgy things at the time. I don't know the ins and outs of that, but at one point the players decided, well, we're not playing if we don't get paid. So basically we waited it out. I remember, I think it was O'Neill's apartment. We just sat there and waited. So from about 1 o'clock in the afternoon, if I remember, we didn't move till we knew we were going to get paid. And so they paid us and we got on the bus. Not the best preparation, obviously. We should all have been at home getting ready, eating and, you know, taking care of ourselves, got on the bus and went and played. So it's not a surprise we took a bit of a beating that night. Nottingham played a good game, credit to them. But I think you knew that team. Not many times teams beat us that season, and especially not by 5 goals. So our mental preparation wasn't there for that game, and we suffered because of it. But it was a dramatic year. I mean, I think Dave Sims would even admit that to do what we did, win those four trophies under those circumstances, was pretty much close to a miracle.
It was, Jono, it was a hell of a team. I mean, of all the teams we've seen in our years following ice hockey, you know, you've got to admit that Steelers team was, I mean, I still think it could be the best.
They're all right.
Come on. I mean, you know, that's a hell of a team.
All the way through from all the way through the defense. Net minding, forwards, just phenomenal. I mean, the fact that they, because was it November you came in, Paul? Late October, November?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. And to bring a player of your caliber in to that team, which strengthens it even more, was just something else. Yeah. A very, very, very good team. No doubt about it.
Yeah. Just to put the record straight, though.
Yeah.
Nottingham could have signed me before I went to Sheffield and didn't. I just want to make that clear.
Yeah, right? Fair enough. Yeah. Maybe people don't know that. You've told me many times, but yeah.
I didn't know that. I was today years old when I found that out.
No, but I'm just, it's sometimes there's things people don't know. And I was available, but the powers to be at that time, I'm not going to name names, said, no, we do, you know, he's finished, so he's not, you know, he's not going to be able to do a good enough job for us. And so I thought, well, you know what, that's fair enough. And the opportunity came. I was only supposed to go for the weekend to Sheffield, played the weekend, and then after that, they asked me to stay longer. And then after that, so we stay for the rest of the year. And I said, yes. And that's how it all worked out.
Hey, maybe the Panthers could have won the Grand Slam if only that the offer of poor lady coming had happened, eh?
That
side basically struggled to get. I mean, that was a year of the Robert Nordmark goal, wasn't it? When Panthers got into the playoffs,
yes,
the playoffs with 0. Whatever, no, just over a few seconds to go.
4.4 seconds.
4.4. Yeah, but
if I remember, we played the Panthers in our group that year.
Panthers got into the playoffs. So,
and I'll
Panthers
tell you what,
yeah,
they played really well, and they could have beaten us in one of, at least the one game. I remember in Sheffield, we were lucky to beat them in that game. They played so well, and we just had a way of winning games. Sometimes we didn't play our best. Mm. And I thought they were a bit of our bogey team that year of all the teams in the league. They sometimes played really, really well against us. It was kind of surprising they didn't do so well throughout the season, because when we played against them, I guess it's the big matchup, right? You come up Nottingham, Sheffield, doesn't matter. And if you're having a good year or bad year, your game just picks up and there's so much more riding on the game. And I think that's probably what happened in those encounters.
I think you're right, Paul. I was thinking that while we were chatting. Nottingham's record against Sheffield that season was great. I reckon 70% of the wins were Nottingham's. And it was so bizarre because Nottingham struggled to beat anybody that season. Mm-hmm. I remember one game where Hoffman scored an overtime winner in Sheffield. That one springs to mind. There was a couple of other big home wins. Well, the bench clearance brawl, the one we talked about when he didn't nearly turn up. So very intriguing that Panthers struggled. And again, for people that didn't perhaps weren't around at the time, it was a different format then, where not playoff quarterfinals, you went into two groups, and Nottingham had been outside the playoffs for much of the season. They had to go to Newcastle. They had to get a regulation time win, and Greg Haddon won a face-off. Of course he did. And eventually the pup came to Robert Nordmark, and Panthers made it into the playoffs. They didn't make it to the Final Four, but they did make it to the playoffs, into those group stages that you guys mentioned. Okay, let's bring it forward to the present day. Let's go Jono, first of all, because I know you were following the game last night. I know Clan are winless so far, but that's a great win for Nottingham to come from two down and turn that around.
I thought it was a really good performance. I know we were talking quickly beforehand about it, but I thought Panthers played really well. And I think they were unlucky to be two down at the end of the first, if I'm honest. But we never looked panicked. We never looked rushed. I always felt that they could get back into the game, and they did. There were some very, very good performances all throughout the team last night. I especially want to pick out Jack Berry in net, who made several excellent saves, but also every time we looked forward, we went forward, we looked dangerous, especially in the third period, where I thought we absolutely dominated. And when Craig Puffer got the equaliser, beautiful wraparound goal as well, I thought it was no more than we deserved. And I thought we was going to go on and take the momentum and go and win it, because like I say, the third period we played very well, overtime we played very, very well. Obviously, it went to the lottery of penalty shots, but another penalty shot victory, the second in a row after the penalty shot victory against Manchester. And that's now four times that Panthers have been taken to overtime this season, and we've won them all.
I was talking to Jack Berry about that, actually, just before we went on the BBC. I think the only blemish is the pre-season game against Sheffield.
That's right. Yeah.
Since regular season play. Paul, we were texting about netminders a couple of nights ago. It's interesting, isn't it? Because De Boer has clearly been Gary Graham's number one starting netminder. You can see from his pedigree. And obviously you can see from Jack Berry is slightly less experienced. But what sort of headache do you think now? It's a good headache, but you know, your starting netminder misses a few games. Berry's now won three in a row, including two shootouts where he saved 7 out of 10 penalties. That's a great headache for a coach to have, isn't it now?
It is, and it's important to know that you have two goalies you can rely on, because you never know when you can get an injury, and certainly very positive for the Panthers that Berry's played so well. And you're right, it's a headache for the coach. He's got a tough decision to make when his number, well, whichever one, you know, Dubois number one comes back, then he'll have to have a big decision to make. You would think it would be nice to see Berry come up in a league game against you know, one of the top teams and see, you know, let him get tested there too, just to see how he does. And that'd be, if he did really well in one of those games, that'd be more of a headache for the coach, you know. But it's a headache coaches want, because you want to have two goalies that are very, and sometimes you could just alternate them too. If they're both playing well, keep them fresh. And, you know, we've seen teams do it before and it's worked, where they've left on long trips, left a goalie at home for the return leg. And Guilford have done that quite a bit. Had their number three in the lineup with number one for the game. And then next game, the number two comes in, or whatever you want to call them, one or two. And then number three goes again. So as the backup. So, I mean, there is that option too. And you always have a fresh goalie, especially after long road trips and stuff. It does help. And we've seen teams use that to their advantage.
That was basically incorporated a question there from Charlie B. So thank you that for Charlie. Just before we finish, going to try and rattle a few things. Ashley, thanks for your question, Ashley. We'll probably just get one of them out of the way. Paul, you were talking about one of the best players you've played in, but just try and put your best players you've played with. In the EIHL era, can you think of a best player, you know, that you've seen play with your commentator's hat on, coach win for Nottingham or Belfast? Or might you just have, might you know what, Jono and I can answer that. Paul, go on, give us the best player that you've ever played with or coached anywhere. Well,
I always, you know, the two players, I think, one in particular that I played against for quite a few years was Rick Brabant. Mm-hmm. And I always felt he was a tremendous player. And I got to play with him in Nottingham that one year, and he's a great passer. He could do it all, but I think I scored an enormous amount of goals with him at center. Just got me the puck at the right time, and played with him on the national team too. I just thought he was a real special player, very competitive. He wanted to share trophies. And for a guy who maybe didn't have the big background coming over, he certainly, you know, played for a lot of years and played at a high level for a lot of years. There's certain players who were able to, you know, stay in the game for 10 plus years and go from three import league to a 16 import league in the Super League and survive and do well. And Brabant was one of those guys. Mm-hmm. So that says a lot about his ability and his, you know, his character. Any other player, if I look at a British player, Tony Hand was exceptional. I mean, he was an incredible player, offensive minded game player, I should say, but you know, he also did the job defensively, you know, when needed. But I mean,
his vision of the game was just unprecedented.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't get to play with Tony. I don't even think with GB, we didn't ever play the same line together. But I would have liked it, because I like, you know, my game was finishing plays off. And when you have a great passer with you, you get a lot of opportunities, and it's fun to play with those guys. So those are two guys that, you know, that remained in my mind. And there's been a lot of great players over the years. And Priestley was in Sheffield, I thought was a good player for the Steelers in his day. Scored a lot of goals there. He was very, very good. But there's been a lot of great, but it's hard to just pick a few, but there's been so many good ones over the years. And I mean, the league, you think about it, league players, you get players from all over the world now, and from pretty high levels from North America. So, you know, it's very competitive, and it's tough to get a job in this league now.
Rightly so, Paul. I did take most of our remaining time, Jono. But come on, I need one name. You know how long we've got left. We've got to squeeze a couple of things in. One name from the Elite League era. You've only David got Ling. One. David Ling. Mm. Yeah. That's fair enough.
Brilliant play. Brilliant play.
Mm. Yeah. I was thinking Jordan Fox, or I'm going David Clark. And I know someone here will, you know, Paul, you'll relate to as well. I mean, with David Clark, for me, you know, I'm going to be biased with my passion for British players anyway. But with David Clark, you needed a big goal. Clarkie got you that goal. You know, I looked once, the amount of goals he scored in cup finals. In fact, he scored. I mean, I'll show you this here, but you can't see it because this is going to be audio. But Paul, that's it. You can see that picture. That's what we talked about earlier, that Challenge Cup victory. But on one of those pictures there, there's a goal of Kimi Aru. So there's a team photo. There's a celebration from one of the goals in Sheffield. But one of those pictures, it's Clarkie scoring in the first leg. He scored in the first leg in the 1-1 tie. In the 1-1 tie. But Clarkie scored in playoff finals. I mean, he had a fight in the league title winning game. And this is David Clark, who by then was mostly renowned for his goal scoring.
Yeah, he got Gordie Howe in that game.
Yeah. And that, you know, so to me, David Clark, you know, it's one poor. You've got about 60 seconds, but Clarke, just a legend of the game.
Yeah, he certainly was. And to be honest, the Panthers have really missed him. I mean, since he's been gone, the team has struggled to win trophies. And it just shows you that game winner, when you have that game winner on your team, someone who, I mean, Corey Nelson knew where to put Clarke on the power play, put him in the best position to score goals. And he delivered time and time again for the Panthers, had an exceptional career for the Panthers, and was a big part of all that silverware. So just fantastic career David Clarke had with the Panthers.
Yeah, great. Now listen, Paul, thanks very much for joining us. It's been great fun. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Nice chatting with you guys.
Really appreciate you taking your time. We've missed you, Greener. Dan Green, he's on holiday. He didn't have the time for us tonight, but that's fair enough. He deserves a break, but it was really
He'll be back on Saturday.
He'll be back on Saturday. Just, I think, it will be a race against the clock to get Greener back. And as I say, Steelers on Saturday, one of Paul Ady's former clubs, two of his former clubs going head-to-head. It's a big game on Saturday because it's Challenge Cup bragging rights. It's, you know, Panthers could go top of the group. So really exciting. Get yourself down to the NIC if you've not got your ticket already. But as I said, thanks to Paul Ady, thanks to John O'Buddott as ever, and we'll see you in the post-game podcast on Saturday.